Chapter 4. Wonderful plan. I wonder what they can be talking about? Asked Markov Jack, as they paused outside the library door. I don't know, but it concerns us. What makes you think so? Because, didn't you hear the stranger speak of us as the young assistants? That's us. Very likely. But who is the man in with Professor Henderson, and what is the wonderful journey he is talking about? That gentleman in with the professor, I'm also a professor, explained Washington in a whisper. He's Professor Santelrauman. Specs I'd better sagaciate muscle finter proximity to the culinary reservation. You mean you've got to go to the kitchen? Asked Jack with a smile. That's what I approximated to yo, replied the colored man. I wonder if we'd better go in now, or wait until Professor Henderson is through talking to Mr. Rauman, asked Mark. Yo'm to go right in, remarked Washington. Them's the orders I got when I went to the station to meet yo. All right, assented Jack. Come on, Mark. What's wanted of us? The two boys entered the library, whence the voices of Professor Henderson and Mr. Rauman could still be heard in earnest discussion. Mr. Henderson looked up as his protégés advanced to the middle of the apartment. Jack. Mark. Promptly. I have something very important to communicate to you. Something that I hope will make up for the loss you suffer in being taken away from college in the middle of the term. Or, to be more correct, Mr. Rauman will impart most of the information, for it is at his suggestion that I sent for you. Are these the young assistants of whom you spoke? Asked the other man, and the boys noticed that he was a big burly German, with a bushy, gray beard, and penetrating, blue eyes. This is Jack Darrow, said the professor, indicating the stout youth, and the other is Mark Sampson. They have lived with me several years now, and we have had many adventures together. Ha! German. I beg your pardon, he went on quickly. I have a habit of talking to myself in my own language once in a while. What I said was that I did not know the lads were so young. I am somewhat apprehensive. Do not be alarmed on the score of their youth, cried Professor Henderson. I assure you that they have had a peculiar training, and, in some scientific attainments, they know as much as I do. You will not find them too young for our purpose, in case we decide that the thing can be done. I tell you it can be done, and it shall be done, insisted Mr. Rauman. I have my doubts, went on Mr. Henderson. Jack and Mark must have shown the wonder they felt at this talk between the professor and his friend, for their guardian turned to them and said, Boys, you must excuse me for not telling you at once the reason why I sent for you. The truth is that Mr. Rauman has laid a very strange proposition before me. It is so stupendous that I hardly know whether to consider it or not. I want to talk with you about it and see what you think. They will go with us, will they not? Asked Mr. Rauman. That is for them to say, replied Mr. Henderson. Go where? Asked Jack, wondering if there was in prospect another voyage to one of the poles, or a trip to the interior of the earth. Professor Henderson looked at the other man. They were silent a moment. Shall I tell them? Asked Mr. Henderson. Surely, assented Mr. Rauman. It all depends on you and them, whether we go or remain on Earth. Jack started. Then there was a question of getting off the Earth. He began to think there might be exciting times for Mark and himself. Mr. Rauman has proposed a wonderful plan to me, went on Professor Henderson. It is nothing more nor less than a trip to Mars, burst out the blue-eyed man. Most wonderful journey on record. A trip through space to the planet Mars. Such an opportunity for reaching it, and proving whether or not there is life on it, will not occur again for many years. It is now, but 35 millions of miles away from us. Soon it will begin to recede, at the rate of 28 millions of miles a year, until it is 234 millions of miles away from us. Then we may never be able to reach it. Now, when it is but 35 millions of miles away, we have a chance to get there. I still believe it is impossible, said Professor Anderson in a low voice. Nothing is impossible, exclaimed Mr. Rauman. Mars. I say it. Wonderful power that will take us there, and, what is more, bring us back. I say it. Impossible, said the professor again, shaking his head. Don't say that word, implored Mr. Rauman. You that we shall go. Go to Mars, exclaimed Mark. 35 million miles, exclaimed Jack with awe in his tones. How can we ever cover that distance? Maid would do it. Not an airship, perhaps, said Mr. Rauman, but something else. I will tell you how. Perhaps I had better explain from the beginning, interrupted Mr. Anderson. Maybe it will be better, assented the other. Boys, be seated, spoke their guardian, and Jack and Mark took chairs. Mr. Santel Rauman is an inventor, like myself, went on Mr. Anderson. I have known him for several years, but I had not seen him in a long time, until he called on me the other day with his strange proposition. We used to attend the same college, but since his graduation he has been experimenting in Germany, where I discovered the secret of the wonderful power that will take us to Mars, added Mr. Rauman. That is one point on which we differ, continued Mr. Anderson. Mr. Rauman believes we can get to the Red Planet, which, as he correctly says, is nearer to us now than it will be again in many years. I do not see how we can get there through the intervening space. And I will prove to you that we can, insisted the other. The power which I shall use is strongest known. But it depends on you and your young assistants. On us? Asked Jack. Yes, replied Mr. Santel Rauman. If and Professor Anderson can build the proper projectile, we shall go. A projectile? Exclaimed Jack. A projectile, said Mr. Rauman again. I have studied it all out, and I think the projectile, shaped somewhat like a great shell, such as they use in warfare, or, more properly speaking, built like a cigar or a torpedo, is the only feasible means of reaching Mars. We shall go in a projectile, 200 feet long, and 10 feet in diameter at the largest point. That will offer the least resistance to the atmosphere of the Earth, though when we get within the atmosphere of Mars, and are subjected to its attraction of gravitation, we shall meet with even less resistance. Why? Asked Jack, who wanted to know the reason for everything. Because, answered Mr. Rauman, from my observations I have proved that the atmosphere of Mars is much less dense than is that surrounding the Earth, and the attraction of gravitation there is about two-thirds less. That is, an object that weighs 100 pounds on the Earth will weigh only 33 pounds on Mars. That's the stuff, cried Jack. Why? Asked Mr. Rauman in some surprise. Then I'll have a chance to lose weight, replied Jack. I'm getting too fat here. I weigh 180 pounds, and that's too much for a lad of my age. When I get to Mars I'll only weigh, let's see, two-thirds of 180. And Jack got out pencil and paper and began figuring. It's 60 pounds, exclaimed Mark, who was quick at figures. How are we to get to Mars, Mr. Rauman? Demanded Jack. I will tell you, answered the blue-eyed man. When you and the professor have constructed the projectile, after plans which I shall draw, I will apply my new, wonderful, secret power, and if you gentlemen will kindly project yourselves hitherward, and proceed to discuss the similitudinariness of the interplanetary conjunction, what I'm waiting for you, the obverseness of the inner constitutions, will be expeditiously relieved, spoke the colored man, suddenly looking in the room. Does that mean supper is ready, Washington? Asked Professor Henderson. Yes, sir. It's wadu. Then why didn't you say so? I did, Professor. Well, perhaps you thought so. Washington has a very peculiar habit of using big words, just because they sound so imposing, went on the professor. He spends all his spare time consulting the dictionary. I have noticed it, remarked Mr. Rauman, smiling. Well, suppose we go out to supper, went on Mr. Henderson. Boys must be hungry. I can eat, admitted Jack. You'll get stouter if you do, warned Mark with a smile. Can't help it. Wait until we get to Mars. Oh, yes, you didn't finish telling us how we were to get there, Mr. Rauman, said Jack. I'll tell you, while we're at supper, said the scientist. I confess that Washington's announcement came just at the right time. I am very hungry. Through space to Mars by Rockwood.